to the extent that the matrix numbers do not appear at all on the record or are under label in such a way that they are not easily read by the film, we cannot include them at this time. But we are including as complete a matrix number as may be found in one location on the disc.
Excuse me, let me finish now. I'd like to answer him back.
By matrix, we are meaning matrix and take.
Yes, I understand. All right, now, that means that your whole project will lack thousands and thousands of recordings as far as accurate information is concerned all the way down the line. I can give you some examples.
May I address myself to that immediately to save...
The AO...
May I address myself immediately to that to save time?
Yes.
We are running short here.
Then I'll leave.
No, I don't want you to leave. I want to answer your question, which is to say that is why we have the pictures. Please remember, in other words, if you were listening to what has been said here, if you have read the literature on the project, please remember that what this phase one of the project is producing is not a catalog. It is a basis from which you, if you have the funding or can command the funding, can take these blocks of numbers for which the matrix numbers do not appear, and jolly well do it yourself. This is what is known as archival cataloging. Now, if you didn't have that, are you talking about being 40 years behind? You'd be 50 years behind.
I'll give you a couple of ideas how you can take the photographs of these numbers. On the Aeolian vocalions of the 20s, the matrix number is usually in a 12 o'clock or the 1 or 3 o'clock position. You take an ordinary pencil and you'll find the numbers coming out.
Sir,
number
I'm,
one,
sir,
the perfects me. Are the same way, except there's a sunken label period where they to completely disguise the labels.
Sir, excuse me. We totally agree with you, completely and utterly agree with you on the importance of matrix. I think most
takes,
of
takes, not matrixes, takes.
Well, of all embossed information, regardless of what part it is, takes, matrixes, all of it. We must, because of the necessity of the quantity of material we're dealing with and are attempting to organize and to obtain basic research information, we must, by necessity, be restricted from doing what you are suggesting, namely highlighting the information with a pencil, with ink, with whatever.
A little white chalk around.
We do
some
not
of
have the time.
Numbers.
You're talking about adding at least 30 seconds to every.
You're doing
record.
Such a tremendous job. Why don't you do the whole job?
Because we don't have $50 million. If you've got $50 million, we'll take it and run with it. But if you can't, we have $850,000 maximum. And we cannot do what you're suggesting. It is physically, financially impossible.
I'd like to respond to that, too, from a technical point of view. There's nothing new under the sun. Some of the things that you're mentioning are the earliest things that we tried. And we said, gee, isn't this swell? And oh my gosh, if we do it this fast and we put it away, what's this going to do in terms of preservation? Are we going to start getting whatever we use over the years being detrimental to the storage of the records? But everything you've talked about highlighting the different things have been tried and discounted for archival purposes. Photographically, I suggest that you look at the film, because I would guarantee you that you'll see more on that film than you can see with your eye holding a record like that. You'd have to tip the record a few thousand times. The way this has been set up is incredible. So look at the film before the, I think that
I'm sorry, I must, unless you have a one more point, I must move on to someone else for
sure,
question
discussion. Sure, I thank you. First of all, I'm maybe what you call nitpicking, because I'm trying to get a take out of a master number, but I have to congratulate you folks.
Thank you.
It's beyond my, I can't believe it, actually, what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Well,
look, that's all I have to say. It's beautiful.
Sir, with the work you have done over the years, which I think many of us in this room know, that is a very strong compliment. Thank you. Tom?
Hi. Say, for example, this data is loaded onto a commercial vendor, like Source or whomever. Are we going to have to pay access time to access those records at their commercial rates?
Yes.
Excuse me.
I do other things at night.
No. Yes, Tom. We'll talk later.
Jerry?
Excuse me, Mike Gray had a question.
Jerry, could I say a couple of things? One of the aspects of the conversation that I had with Dialogue, which was only very preliminary, was to try to get an understanding of what the difference between a nonprofit and a profit storage and access medium for this data might be. As a very rough seat of the pants, it would appear to be on the order of about three times.
See, the idea is to get the subscribers to pay the bulk and let the people who loaded it originally, like the AAA people, go in for nothing or next to nothing.
I understand that, but in the public or in the for-profit environment, the response was, gee golly, folks, that's one of those humanities databases, isn't it? I'll bet it isn't going to make us a dime, and you can guarantee, we'll guarantee you we won't load it on spec.
Okay, Mike Gray.
Yeah, let me address the question that was brought up by...
One second, Mike.
I must warn you that we have chance for Mike's question or comment and this gentleman. I'm sorry, sir, but that will be
briefly, it. Briefly, the question that was brought up about what kind of discographic information is included. We didn't really... the problem is a transcription question. When the entry is created by the people at MyCal working two entries per minute, the problem is one of training and one of if they don't know what to look for, if they are told to look for a certain number of things, they look for those things. Take numbers may be part of the things they find as part of the matrix number, they may not. The essence of this whole problem was you've got the pictures. Catalog entries can be made to a greater or lesser extent satisfactory for catalogers or for discographers. You may not please everybody the first time around, but at least you've got the raw information from which you can develop something else, and undoubtedly something else will be developed. So I just, being a discographer myself and knowing through many pains what you have to look for, certainly everyone would love to have all the takes right there. That would be everybody's job, but you can't expect the project to be twice as expensive.
Twice?
However expensive. People do cost money.
Yes, sir.
Michael Lane Audio and Records. Gentlemen, ladies, now that you have so well organized, the basic problem.
Excuse me, can everyone hear?
Now that you have well organized the basic problem of the visual accessibility of the data, is this an end in itself to this aspect, or do you consider it merely the first step in the vastly more important area of sonic accessibility? I don't understand. Would you address yourself to the question of sonic accessibility, or is that beyond the scope of what your endeavor is?
Let me try and build, and then you. The five collections represented here, Syracuse University, Stanford University, Yale, as you were, as a visitor, the Library of Congress, New York Public Library, are devoted to collecting and making available for public use, not misuse, but public use of the materials in our respective collections. Various of us have definitions of what public is. The materials are available. The principal problem which at the Library of Congress, and I believe at the other four institutions as well, the principal problem that has existed since we have had sound collections is, great, you've got those records, what have you got? And my response to everyone in this room who's ever come to the Library of Congress to listen to a record is, you tell me the label name and issue number of what you want to hear, and I'll go see if I can find it. What we have now taken is the first step of saying, greatly simplifying the question of, do we have it? Not only can we now potentially, at the end of this project, say the Library of Congress does not have it, but I can turn around and tell you, I don't have it, but Jerry Persons or Stanford University does have it. And we have also, because of the fair use statement, which Brigler Deutsch Ledler Foundation requested from us prior to funding, we also have, if you can establish your credibility within the federal guidelines of fair use, have provided the facility for you to acquire a copy of that collect recording if you are not able to physically go there and listen to it.
Then I understand, sir, you consider this merely the first step in an expanding field, ultimately leading to sonic accessibility.
I think the sonic accessibility has been a fact. The problem has been to locate those recordings for accessing them. And now we are working together to help facilitate that bibliographic accessibility. Bill?
One of the things I think that also should be strongly pointed out, and I think I may have pointed out a little too strongly to some very good colleagues of ours, I hope they took it in good sense of jest at a dinner the other night, is that a lot of us do want to hear the sound on the records. Some of us are not discographers. That's very important. But having the photograph of the records makes it sonically retrievable in the sense that we know, hey, this is a good copy. There's no cracks in here. In that sense of the word. So in terms of where do I go to find a best recording, the photographs are actually good enough to give you some indication of groove condition. So in addition to simply looking, not simply, it's very complicated, looking at the label and getting the information off of that, the sonic possibilities are tremendous in terms of availability. So we think that's another very strong asset of the photograph.
We're unfortunately 15 minutes over our time. Elwood McKee has asked for one brief second, and then we will adjourn. Elwood?
Within the group, there is, as you can see, a tremendous amount of expertise on various topics. But I don't think that any of the people up here would claim that the AAA has it all. And to go along with what the gentleman said here, we do need information. We are going to have thousands and thousands of record manufacturers' products to index. And to the extent that we've been able to assemble information on the location of label and issue number, matrix number materials, we are using it from all sources, including yours. But we can always use more help from the members, so that if you have special knowledge on any particular make of record, we could sure use it. Thank you.
May I remind you before Peter takes it away from me, there is the list for those who wish to go to MICAL this afternoon and see firsthand the type of work that is being done. There are positions. There is room for 10 more people to go at noon today.